Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to The Sower. I am your host for tonight's broadcast, the very Reverend Dr. Andrew Patrick. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are going to be reading out of the first book of Peter, the last chapter, chapter 5, and that'll be 14 verses. Rather small chapter, but very important chapter. In many aspects, although 11 of the verses are, the first 11 verses are the key, which we will be discussing in our meditation of it. Prayer this evening, all of our men and women in the armed forces, as well as all of our men and women that are in emergency services, be it police, fire, ambulance, doctors, nurses, psychiatrists, psychologists, caseworkers. There are many aspects when disaster hits that people are called upon to step up and be leaders. So with that, I also would like us to keep in prayer the refugees, especially the Christian refugees, not those that are trying to infiltrate and cause chaos, but those that are trying to flee a horrific situation, and that they may find welcome arms and plenty of resources and love and peace in the communities where they settle. So we ask that God's guiding light shine brightly throughout the world and on bless those that reach out across the aisle and help others. Also, I'd like us to keep all of our clergy here in the United States and around the world in prayer. When the Lord put 1 Peter chapter 5 into my heart today, he did so through a fellow member of the cloth. And I admire this individual and trust their judgment and their counsel. And I am just very blessed to have them with the ministry, and I know that they are an asset to the people in whom they serve. And I'm being very general in stating that, because in the last 24 hours, ladies and gentlemen, I have been from one side of the spectrum to the other. In other words, I've been belittled and somewhat betrayed in friendship and in love, but at the same time, I have been exalted in brotherly love and admiration. So from one extreme to the other. And it does play havoc on someone's insight. But it's about leadership. It's about doing the Lord's will in this world. So with all that said, let us pray in the words that our Lord gave us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, we've got quite a bit of time here, and I'm glad that we'll be able to get through this. Again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, 5. New King James Version. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you. Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I have some notes here that I'm going to go over through first, so bear with it and listen up. In chapter 5, verse 1, Peter sees himself on the same level as the rest of the elders. Partaker is a key term in the epistle to the Hebrews. And you can see Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through 14. It speaks of sharing in Christ's reign in the coming kingdom. Peter considers himself to be already participating partly in the glory that one day he will experience fully. In verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God. This is an ancient Israelite shepherd, as he would do before his sheep, to lead them. He would not drive the sheep in front of him. The church leaders should lead people of God in the same way, feeding, protecting, and guiding them. Christian leaders should also remember that they have been given responsibility for tending a flock that belongs to God, not to themselves, serving as overseers. Church leaders must do everything in their power to ensure that the Christians under their care are living according to God's word, not by compulsion. The work of the ministry is to be done joyfully, not merely as a duty, not for dishonest gain. Christian leaders need to make certain that their work is not motivated by money, but by a passion for the good of those believers put in their charge. In verse 5:3, it speaks of nor as being lords over, echoing a command that Peter heard directly from Jesus during his earthly ministry. Peter reminds all Christian leaders that they need to perform the role of servants, not of masters, to those whom God has signed to their care. Being examples, Christian leaders should be godly models to other believers. Christ himself set the example for all of us. In verse 4, talks about the chief shepherd. Elsewhere, Jesus is called the shepherd, the good shepherd, and the great shepherd. The crown of glory, God continues that those ministers who serve him faithfully in accordance with the guidelines in verses 2 and 3 will receive an eternal reward in Christ's coming kingdom. Casting all your care upon him. We need to present all worries, anxieties, and problems to God in order to let him handle them. In verse 8, he talks about being sober, which means to be self-disciplined, to think rationally and not foolishly. Be vigilant means to be alert and the spiritual pitfalls, avoiding those of life, and take appropriate steps to make certain that we do not stumble. For our adversary, Satan, has vowed to do us in. He never ceases from being hostile toward us. He is constantly accusing us before God. Like a roaring lion, Satan is both cunning and cruel. He attacks when least expected and desires to destroy completely those whom he attacked him in verse 9. We are not commanded to run, but to resist, to fight rather than to flee. Victory comes when we remain committed to God, because he is greater than our enemy. In verse 10, he talks about being perfect. Like a doctor setting a broken bone, God will mend our broken lives and make us whole. Establish. God will make our way stable, despite the instability we feel living in a world that inflicts suffering upon us. Strengthen. God will give us the ability to succeed in all that we do for him. Settle. As a consequence of our facing the attacks of our enemy, God will build in us a firm foundation that will make us steadfast and immovable. In verse 11, the glory and the dominion. God is in control of all things, both in this world and throughout eternity. The word amen. Responding to the word of God by saying amen echoes a Jewish practice of declaring that everything that had been said is true, and that the hearers committed putting into practice that truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's why I wanted to elude on some notes on this particular chapter and these verses through 11. I want us to look at it from the standpoint in verse 2 where he says, the shepherd the flock of God, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willing, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we can see this example being portrayed by people around us in our day-to-day life. We see it in our parents. We can see it in our teachers, our coworkers, our bosses. We can even see it in examples of people doing their job that we interact with when we go to the store or to the coffee shop or just walking across the street where there's a crossing guard or a police officer. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the understanding of leadership, this is what Peter is talking about in this, in many aspects. Not being haughty, as they say, not being prideful, not being boastful, but in humility. And we can see that in verse 5, where he says, all of you be submissive. He's talking about the younger people, but in reality, he's talking about all people. All people to be submissive to one another and to be clothed with humility. For as in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 states, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in the beginning of this broadcast, I made the statement that in the last 24 hours, I have gone from one ex to another, and it has not been a pleasant ride. It has been a whole lot of soul searching. It has been a whole lot of praying and meditation. I know that people have good intent when they address things either positively and even sometimes negatively that they perceive is one or the other. However, when we look at this particular scripture and we try to bring an understanding to the ridicule and the hate and the bullying and the sarcasm and the demeaning remarks of others that we come in contact with in the course of our day, we need to realize that we are Christians. We are followers of Christ, and we need to stand firm and do as God has told and directed us in our heart. That vision is very, very clear. And there's going to be always someone that is going to disagree with you, the way that you do things, the way that you act, the way that you perceive things. But in reality, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes that perception is theirs and theirs alone. And if others are ridiculing you behind your back, well, then that's not very Christ-like. Now, when I said that we need to stand our ground, well, that is what we just read about here in this aftermath of serving as overseers. Not by consumption. The work of the ministry is to be done joyfully, not merely as a duty. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't do anything in this ministry as a duty, and I surely don't do it for profit or gain. Yes, I did reach out over the last 2 weeks and ask for some financial help. I think once a year, that's fair. But others didn't see it that way, and because their comments were so, how do I want to put it, direct, challenging, even though they were saying they're looking out for moi, it was demeaning and ridiculed and hurtful. I don't treat people that way. I never have and I never will. I try to treat people like I like to be treated. I mean, that's what the scriptures teach me. But the scriptures also teach us to stand our ground, not to run. That's why we are partakers, to experience life and the bad. And when we do have that issue where we come up with a conflict, then we need to, as in verse 7, cast all of that to God. Because what does God tell us in the scriptures? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay. Ladies and gentlemen, he also tells us to bless those that persecute us, to love those, and to pray for those who hurt us and spitefully use us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not always easy to do, I know. But it's not an impossible task. It's very possible. And it is what Christ and God your Father want you to do. They want to stand with you and fight your battles with you. They are already standing with you when you go through trials and tribulations. They are going through it with you. But you know what? For every sense of where somebody is putting you down, oppressing you, demanding that you change this and that and the other thing about you, there's the other side of that coin. And God will always send that comforter to you, that person of wisdom, that person of understanding and compassion, one that has been in what you are going through. Many a times I've been that individual for others. But there are occasions like today. I needed that person. And I didn't reach out to this individual. This individual just happened to call and knew something wasn't right within the first few moments of our conversation. And I had no choice. My heart just tore out what had happened. And the thing is, what hurts so much, ladies and gentlemen, and it probably hurts you too, is that the person that was supposedly correcting me, demeaning me, putting me in my place, and as they said, calling me out, I'm not mentioning names because this person knows who they are, and they also know that I love them and I respect them immensely, and that still has not changed. I appreciate what they had to say and what's on their mind and heart, but nothing I said or could say would change this individual's mind or heart. And when people turn around and say, God is not pleased with you, you need to be very cautious with that. Satan knows the scriptures better than any man, woman, or child on the face of this planet, even the most scholarly theologian. And though he had me so flustered because I cared so much about this individual, and I couldn't understand why they were saying the things that they did. We go through that ourselves every single day. It might be a coworker, it might be a fellow student, it might be somebody at a traffic light in a vehicle next to you doesn't understand why you made the turn that you did in front of them or slowed up, causing them to be a few minutes late for work, and they're mad at you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are to stand up for ourselves and not run, so that we can have the glory of God our Father. And I say that because as we look at these scriptures in the last 5 minutes, I want to make it very clear where he goes from in verse 6, I want to take it back up to verse 4. And maybe give you a little better understanding. He says in verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Who? God exalt you. And how's he going to do that? In verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. But you'll only get that, ladies and gentlemen, if you do and be submissive. Submissive. This individual wanted me to do a lot of things. A lot of things. And in compliance to some of it, I thought, okay. And I took down our request for financial help and donations. I'm leaving that up to you and to God. Anybody's more than welcome to go to our ministry's website. Just in case you don't have that address, it's www.CelticCrossMinistry.com. And as you go through the pages, top to bottom, there are several places throughout the 60, 70 pages that are there, and more to come, where you can have the opportunity to make a love offering or donation to the ministry. I won't lie to you. I'll be transparent. I always am. Although some people think that I am the wolf in sheep's clothing. That annoys me, but I understand. I understand because of their insecurity. I understand because they've been taught scripture wrong. I understand that not everyone is walking in the same light, although they call themselves a Christian. There are many people that can quote Bible and verse off the top of their heads, but they can't live it. They love to dish it out, but they can't accept it upon themselves. This is where humility steps in. This is where care steps in. Care, casting all your care upon him. Because I don't want to attack this individual. I didn't appreciate their attack to me. There was many ways that they could have handled what they did. However, it cost a friendship. Not from my side, but from their side. I will always be here for them. Because that is what God has put me here on this earth to do. To be here for my fellow man. Meaning, for you. That is what we are to take from the scripture. Being a leader. To be sober. Because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. And this individual roared last night, but yet resist him, knowing that the same suffering and experience by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, you're not the only one going through it. But may the God of all grace hold us after our suffering a while, be perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. This is what I needed to be reminded by my dear friend on the backside of what happened last night. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what ministry is. And that's what we here at the Celtic Cross Foundation of Ministry try to do each and every single day. We don't belittle people. We love all mankind, even those that persecute us, even those that laugh at us and think that we're a joke. Think of how many people blasphemed Christ when he was on the cross, and you're no better than him. So take it, stand up, and hold your line, and love God, and keep following your heart as he directs, and all else will come in. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to thank you for joining me for the Sower this evening. Tune in next week, and later on this week with our prayer programs and our other shows. This is the very Reverend Dr. Cardinal Andrew Patrick saying God bless, and we'll talk to you next week.